It's 7:33 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Dave Mistich. A press conference in Wheeling yesterday gave the Federal Bureau of Investigation and other authorities a chance to address concerns about the shooting that took place at the federal courthouse there earlier this week. Glynis Board spoke with some of those authorities and brings us this report.
U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of West Virginia, William Ehlenfeld, says the investigation is ongoing and that there are no major developments to report. He says the object of the press conference was to answer questions and to reassure the public that matters are under control and that the authorities have no reason to suspect any additional dangers related to the incident.
The investigators worked late into the night and into the early morning hours in executing a search warrant at the suspect's home in Bridgeport, Ohio. A search warrant was also executed upon the suspect's motor vehicle, which was parked across the street from the federal building, and evidence was gathered during those searches and is being processed.
Ehlenfeld says those searches were partially a matter of routine and partially born out of concern for motive. There was concern at some point that there might be some kind of explosives left behind.
In addition, there was some writing on the outside of the trailer that led investigators to think there might be something inside of that as well. It was written in Latin, but it was translated something to the effect of beware of all who enter here. And so there was some concern that might be an issue, and that did not turn out to be the case.
At this point, investigators have revealed that 55-year-old Thomas Picard, a former Wheeling police officer who retired in 2001, was acting alone. Ehlenfeld said his target wasn't anyone in particular, but rather the building itself.
And based upon some preliminary findings during the investigation, it appears that he was angry with the federal government. We do not think that he was angry with any particular individual who worked in the federal building or any particular office.
He had an assault rifle that he was firing. He also had a handgun.
Kelly Cochamba is an FBI spokeswoman from the Pittsburgh field office.
At this time, we're still assessing to see if the handgun was actually used. We do know that 18 to 25 rounds of ammunition were shot.
A U.S. Marshal Court security officer, as well as a Wheeling police officer, returned fire, injuring Picard, who was pronounced dead from those injuries at a local hospital.
It was resolved in an appropriate way and in the only way it could have been based upon the situation. The shooter had a lot of additional ammunition on his person, and he didn't get to use it all because of the actions of those who engaged with him.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
As the state moves closer to paying off its bond debt associated with the West Virginia Turnpike, lawmakers are starting to consider what to do with the roadway. The ideas being discussed in the halls of the Capitol, however, always make their way a few miles down I-77 to the State Parkways Authority's headquarters. Board members themselves are trying to come up with a plan for the turnpike, all the while considering the concerns of the citizens of southern West Virginia. Ashton Marrer reports.
A bill originally introduced during the 2013 legislative session is being hashed out by legislators during interim meetings. Co-sponsored by Senator Bill Cole of Mercer County, he says it helps diminish the burden on the Turnpike counties. Cole commented on the bill after an interim meeting in July.
Senator Chafe and I introduced a bill that would try and take a small piece, less than 4% of the total revenue proceeds of the turnpike and invest it back in the counties that the turnpike runs through.
The total price tag, $4 million, $1 million each for Kanawha, Raleigh, Mercer, and Fayette counties to invest in infrastructure or economic development projects. But because of the contract attached to the bond, revenues brought in by tolls can only be used to pay off the debt. That debt is set to be settled in 2019, but Governor Tomlin's designee to the Parkways Authority, Jason Pizzatella, says until then, it's illegal for the state to touch that money.
We could not implement the proposal that Senator Chafin has discussed, and I am sure will offer during the 2014 regular session. So it would be up to him to work with the Parkways Authority to craft a proposal that we could realistically implement.
In other words, realistically, that proposal would have to be implemented after 2019. But just because the Parkways Authority board members are saying the state would have to wait before the counties could receive funds from turnpike revenues doesn't mean they don't support it.
When the bonds are paid off, I wanted to keep that money in this end of the state. Mm-hmm.
Bill Seaver is a member of the board and a lifelong resident of Mercer County. Seaver says he presented a plan to the governor to continue the tolls on the turnpike, in part to help the state maintain the road, but also to put money towards southern infrastructure projects.
When the tolls were paid off in 2019, I want to keep the tolls on the turnpike. We have to maintain it, and we can't let the Department of Transportation can't take care of it. But I want the money, the excess money, when we're not paying the bonds anymore, spent at a point from Charleston south to the tunnels, the width of West Virginia, just on projects in the southern end of the state.
He says projects like completing major roadways and replacing bridges throughout the region are crucial to the economic future of the entire state, and believes the proposal by the Blue Ribbon Commission on Highways is just not a viable option.
They're not going to be able to come in and raise the tolls on a turnpike and then take that money and spend it all over the state. I don't see that happening. I don't think the government will put that forth and have us sell more bonds to go off into the future. But I think if we do this, we can take certain amounts of money for major projects like King Coal Highway, complete the part in Mercer County, pay for it over a five-year period with toll revenues, and other projects then throughout the southern end of the state.
Pizzatella, who also serves as the chair of the Blue Ribbon Commission, says he hears the concerns Seaver and many other southern West Virginians have about the turnpike and tried to work a compromise into the Blue Ribbon's proposal to the governor.
As part of our proposal, 25% of the bond revenue that would be realized from a future, from using the turnpike to fund other projects would stay in southern West Virginia and stay in the four counties. Because we think that the citizens and motorists in southern West Virginia deserve that money. And so, again, I think that we will be able to find some middle ground as we go forward with this proposal.
Pizzatella says they have plenty of time to find that so-called middle ground because, again, nothing new can be done with toll revenues until 2019. Seaver says he would also like to see the governor commit $75,000 each year for the next 6 years to the four counties as a reimbursement for their toll costs when busing students to and from school and to help seniors paying tolls as they travel for access to health care. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:41. Your forecast for today, partly sunny with a chance of rain, highs in the 60s and 70s. For tonight, mostly cloudy, rain showers are possible overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s. And for Saturday, partly cloudy with a chance of isolated rain showers, highs in the 60s and 70s.
Support provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full CERT line electrical distributor, online at stateelectric.com. Call 1-800-RADIO-87, 1-800-723-4687 to show your support for West Virginia Morning. You can also go online at our new website, wvpublic.org, and click on the Pledge Now button and help support Telling West Virginia Story.
In June 2011, Marshall University's Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine was recommended for probation by the Liaison Committee on Medical Education. After making many necessary changes, the school had its probation lifted late last week. Clark Davis has the story.
The LCME's complaints were in the areas of a lack of diversity for students and faculty, lower than average scholarship support and higher than average student debt, limited programs to help student well-being, limited advising, lack of a financial aid and debt management program, and curricular issues. Dr. Joseph Shapiro was hired in the spring of 2012 as the new dean, with the mission of bringing the school out of probation. Shapiro says each of the issues was addressed.
We need to continue to build things, and we need to continue to get better and better. I'm very happy with our trajectory, and I'm very happy that we're moving in the right direction, but I'm not satisfied with the status quo. And candidly, that's what makes it an exciting job.
In the areas of diversity, a new diversity director was hired, new programs have been put in place to help students find scholarships and get financial help, and research has become much more of an important issue at the medical school than ever before. Shapiro says the probation could turn out to be a good thing.
Was it a blessing in disguise to be on probation? Well, maybe. It certainly got people focused, and people were certainly receptive to the message I brought. But we're doing the things we should be doing now, and I still find it an incredible challenge and opportunity.
Shapiro says Marshall's Medical School can't compare to top medical research institutions like Harvard, Yale, or Penn. Instead, the school must focus on what it does well.
If we look at numbers like how many of our students do practice in West Virginia and how many of them ultimately do primary care practices, our numbers are pretty good. And how well we're training them, how good they are as doctors, again, that's a hard number to get to. But those are the kind of measurements that really are very interesting.
The dean says the probation period definitely hurt the recruiting the school was able to do during the two-year period. But the hope is with probation lifted, things will begin to look up.
Certainly hurt enrollment and it certainly hurt recruitment. The year before I came on board, although we traditionally recruit very well in West Virginia, we really were challenged because of probation. Last year, we recruited better for medical school, I think largely because we told the students all the things we were doing.
Shapiro says although the probation has been lifted, Marshall will work to continue to improve on the areas that the Liaison Committee on Medical Education questioned. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
Bluegrass legend Bill Monroe performs Uncle Penn on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Break her day when they call her a holler. Don't she know the Uncle Ben was ready to go? Uncle Ben played a fiddle on the how it rang. He'd had a talk, you'd hear it sing. Gonna soldier joy and the one for Boston boy, the greatest of all, what Jenny Lynn, if that's the way we're feeling again. Laying in and about to down, how to do it in a Boston. Uncle Ben played a fiddle on a halberd ring, you'd hear it talk, you'd hear it sing. The mournful day when Uncle Ben was called away. They hung up his fiddle, they hung up his bow. They knew it was time for him to go. Painting and the bustin' down, how the hill in the Buzzerton. Uncle Ben played a fiddle on the harbor ring. You'd hear it talk, you'd hear it sing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was Bill Monroe with Uncle Penn. You can hear that and more music on Mountain Stage, Sunday at 2 on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website at wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and you can subscribe to our podcast of West Virginia Morning while you're there. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, and Ashton Mara. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Dave Mistich.